You are listening to the Nailpod Podcast. I am your host, Yaelia, or Yali, and I thank you so much for taking time to listen to today's episode. Here, I am going to share my journey, my transformation, and everything that I've learned and keep learning about being your own boss in this massive world of the nail and beauty industry. This podcast has a lot of salsa and spiciness, fire, and the occasional Spanish cursing, so be ready to get inspired and motivated. No more laters, no more tomorrows. Let's start now. Ahora. Wepa! Hello, guys. Thank you so much for taking time from your day to listen to the Nailpod Podcast, where doing nails are just the tip of the iceberg. Since the podcast is still in baby stages, you will still have time to answer the questions from a first homework that I gave you on the introduction episode. Here are the questions. Find me on social media and answer the following. Who was your personal hero when you were growing up? Why did you look up to this person or to this character? And what are you doing to channel those qualities today or this year? You can answer them in a post on my social media or send me a direct message. You can find all this at thenailpod.com. I will put all the links to the description of the episode. Instagram is @thenailpod and on Facebook is theonlynailpod. I will choose 3 answers and read them in the next episode. Hopefully more than 3, but I think 3 is a pretty good number. So today, we're going to be answering this question. Is the nail and beauty industry right for you? When I was thinking about joining the nail world, I knew I had some skills developed that could help me succeed. But the only research I did was what schools were near me, how much was the cost of education and licenses, and really just looking and stalking other successful nail technicians on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube that had a huge following. What I saw is what is expected to see on social media, right? You see these gorgeous pictures, professional, flawless, not even a tiny mistake. They appear to be making tons of money. And they're posting about their personal lives and they're just showing that they're living the life. They are creating their own schedule, having time with their families, working when they want to, taking lots and lots of vacations and traveling all over. And their educators and their influencers. And man, it's just the life that we all wish, right? That's what social media looks like. But is it really what's happening in their lives? Is it really success? Are they making it or is it just all a smoke bomb? You see, social media is not real, you guys. Social media is a business tool. I'm going to repeat that again. Social media is not real and it's just a business tool. And like everything, you will post only the good things, right? You will post beautiful work, all your wins. You will post everything that is positive and beautiful in the world. But the person, the client, is really not seeing what's behind the scenes, right? Because social media has become our portfolio as businesses. We will post our success. I will not post about the mental breakdown I had in the morning when I was like thinking about my bills and how much I had to pay. I am only posting the beautiful nails that I created the day before. If you're doing your research and you're thinking about joining the industry, you cannot let this factor determine that you're going to be good as them, that you're going to be successful as them, and you're going to be living the life that they have. Because sometimes it's not real. There's more to it. I think the best way to start is asking yourself why you want to join the industry. What do you want to accomplish? What are your long and short-term goals? Is it because you want to be financially free? Is it because you're after the dream that a lot of people and companies that are exploiting, you know, the dream of becoming your own boss and set your own schedules? Is it that you're looking for a creative outlet and you're very creative? What is the reason? I want you to take a moment, be very honest with yourself, and write down why you want to do this. Why do you want to do nails? And why do you want to be full licensed in cosmetology? Like, what is your why? For me, my why was I wanted to make people feel good about themselves, feel beautiful and important. I also wanted to do something on my own. I always knew that. And I wanted to have something of my own. And I wanted to leave a legacy to my future kids and my family. And I think my main reason of why was I didn't want to be in the corporate world anymore. I was really disappointed of the type of culture we have created when you work with big companies. I just didn't want to work for somebody else and make somebody else's dream come true. I wanted to make my dream come true, and I was willing to work for it. So that is my why. So in times when I feel like I'm going to quit, or days that I feel very down, I have my whys written down on a board, and I know that I can always refer back and read those statements, and that will give me the energy that I need to keep going. I don't want to work for somebody else, because if I give up, right, if I close my shop and decide, you know what, I can't do this anymore, it's too hard, then what are my options? I can be unemployed for the rest of my life and live under a bridge, or I can just suck my pride and work for somebody else and then wonder forever, what if I didn't give up at that time? That is why it's so important for you to determine your why, because that is the thing that is going to keep you going when things get hard. And if you don't know your why, that is okay. I hope that by the end of this episode, you can figure it out. And if you still need some extra help, feel free to message me and I'll be more than happy to help you figure it out. So what does it take to be in this industry? I created a list of 10 things that are required if you want to make a career in the beauty industry. This list is a combination of skills and mindsets. I am not going to sugarcoat it, but I also don't want to discourage you from joining us. I just wish I would have known this before I consider changing careers. Okay, so number one, you will need to deal with people. You can't shy away and wait for your clients to come to you. You will need to engage in conversations and be able to tell them clearly who you are and the services that you provide. You need to be confident, right? And if you struggle with that, I will suggest that you start practicing, because you will be the first person who they're going to contact when they want services. You will not expect a lot of people to go to your website and read about your services and make an appointment. A lot of them want to hear who you are, and they're going to call you or text you. They want to talk to somebody that is alive. So again, if you struggle with that, I suggest that you start practicing. And how can you do that? Well, start saying hello to strangers. When you're going to the grocery store, just, you know, smile and say hello. If you are the checkout line, you can ask the cashier, how was your day? You know, what kind of plans are you having for the holidays? And you start making sweet conversations so you can feel more confident in how you talk to others. And instead of texting friends, make a call instead, or encourage them to have a Zoom call. And, you know, maybe when this pandemic is over, invite them over for coffee or lunch or dinner or whatever. It's just for you to practice and engage in conversations. I feel like we're all so detached from making conversations and be more personable because of the era of texting and social media. It's all what we can say via text, but we don't know how to communicate anymore. And you know, from conversations, you're actually selling yourself without having to engage in sales tactics. You are asking your client, you know, what is it that they're looking for and how you can solve the issue, and you can deliver on their request. But you have to be dealing with people. And I am not saying that you have to be absolutely friendly with everybody, but you need to be at least approachable. And they appreciate when you're real too. You have no idea of all the comments and feedback that I get after a service of my clients telling me how awesome it is to have somebody you can talk to, or they know that this is a safe place to talk. And you know, I take pride in that. They know that I will take care of them and they can trust me, but it all starts in a good conversation. Number two, you are a salesperson. You will have to sell. Everyone cringes at the idea of selling, but that is the reality. You need to be good at selling who you are and your services and even retail products. And I am not saying that you should spend a lot of money in classes and how to be the best seller. I don't want you panicking, thinking of the idea of like, oh my gosh, I need to be a salesperson. It's not like that. It's all through conversation. That is why you need to be an approachable person. You need to learn how to engage in conversations. You need to be friendly, because through conversation is when you make your sale. And your sale is not about buy this, buy that. No, you're selling yourself, your skills, your services. And as an added bonus, you're selling your products too that you trust and that you use on them. Number three, if you are thinking about being an employee, please know that it's very rare in the beauty industry that you will find a place where you can work and have a salary or an hourly rate, that they're going to pay you great, that you're going to have good benefits, that they're going to pay for your unemployment and all that. It's very rare. Most quote-unquote employees are treated as independent contractors because owners don't want to deal with the taxes involved in it. They don't want to pay employee taxes. They don't want to pay for the benefits and all that jazz. They really will hire you, but you will be an independent contractor, which makes you solely responsible for all that. If not that, it's very common to have employees that work by commission and tips. So sometimes, you know, if I'm a nail business owner and I'm hiring employees and I hire them by commission only, I can do 40-60, 50-50, but the very common one is 40-60. I take 40% of the service, you take 60 plus the tips. And it works sometimes. It makes me really sad that we can't find places where they're really giving an honest hourly rate and benefits. And that's why you see so much turnover in the industry too. Because who can afford, you know, being paid $10, $7 an hour when you really break down the numbers? That's how much you're making in commissions and tips. Just be aware that if you're trying to work for somebody else, those will be your options. And if you're a company that pay great and have great benefits, oh my gosh, by all means, keep doing it. Do everything possible to keep doing that because, you know, it's a trade. We should get paid for the work that we do. You know, it is a job and it is the time invested. So I wish more companies could hire employees and do it the right way. Now, number four, if you're thinking about owning your own place, think about what it means to become your own boss. Unless you have a budget for it, you will wear a lot of hats. And it can be very stressful and you can feel under pressure all the time. Can you work under pressure or do you break easily when things get hard? You know, when I talk about wearing many hats, I mean that as a sole owner, you will be in charge of everything. You will be your own employee. You will have to pay yourself a salary or however you're going to determine to get paid. You're going to be your marketing department because, you know, in this age and time, your business has to be in social media and you need to know how to advertise. You will be your own accountant and bookkeeper, and you have to keep track of all your expenses and earnings and taxes and the whole thing. You will be your own photographer, videographer, editor, social media manager, housekeeping, your cleaning person, the store manager that is handling the inventory, retails, and sales. You'll be handling all that. And if you could outsource it, that is great, but you will need substantial amounts to do that. Number five, you need to have a positive attitude and be persistent. When was the last time you started and completed to the very end a project? How was the process? Are you a procrastinator? Because if you are, this is not for you. You will absolutely suck at the beginning. Why? Because like anything, skills are learned and you need to practice them to become better, right? The more you practice, the better you'll get. But you need to understand that because that is when you need a positive attitude and the persistence. You're not a quitter. Like I said before, being a nail technician is hard. There are times that I was so close on giving up. And I even questioned my sanity, to be honest with you. I kept struggling and I kept stressing out. But you know what? I knew it was going to get better. There's going to be a lot of times where you're going to hit a wall and you have to figure out a way around that. Number six, do you like to be of service? It's nice to be served, right? But do you like to be of service? The reason I ask that is because this industry is all about service. It doesn't matter your skills, how good you are, how perfect you are. It's about the impression that you leave on your clients. You can be the nail technician, but if you don't like to be of service, you will not have a lot of clients. You will not have returning clients. And being of service means that you will take care of your clients and attend to their needs with gratitude, with a smile, without feeling like, oh God, what does this client want? That's not the attitude to have. You need to understand this is a service industry. A lot will be required of you. There's going to be a lot of expectations, and it's up to you to determine the level of service that you want to give. And yes, you might be thinking, oh, all they need is a manicure. Like, what's the big deal? Yes, that is the service that ultimately they're going to be paying for. But it's more than that. It's the experience. And it all starts from the time of contact. And I'll explain myself. Here's an example of what it means to be of service. I get a call and I answer. Hi, this is Yali from the Nail Pod. How can I help you? The client says, oh, this is Jan. I just need a manicure. Great. I have three types of manicures. Let me explain, Jan. I have a classic manicure with regular polish. I have a gel manicure using soak-off gel polish. And I also have a structured gel manicure, which is me using hard gel to provide strength, structure to the nail, and to promote natural growth. What kind of manicure are you interested in? See, I explain my services. I'm still engaged with the customer. And then Jan goes and says, I would just like a classic manicure. Here comes the engaging in conversation, asking questions, and you're selling your services. And I keep that positive attitude. I'm happy. I'm engaging. Even though I have a crappy day, I'm still being of service. I'm still having this conversation with her in a very upbeat attitude. And she can hear my smile. She can hear that I'm excited that she called to make an appointment. And I'm still trying to accommodate her for whatever works best for her, the best time, the best day, because it's all about them. And that's what it means to be of service. So then going on the conversation, Jan says, you know what? Tuesdays afternoons are better. And then I'm quickly looking at my calendar and I say, all right, I have an appointment available next Tuesday at 2:00. Will that work for you? Yes, it does. Let me get your information. Done. You have booked your appointment. That's the first part of your service. And then, you know, you have a system that has all the bells and whistles for to send reminders. Whoop, I just touched the microphone. I always do that because I talk with my hands. So you have this awesome program that has all the bells and whistles, and you know, you don't have to worry about reminding them because they're going to get a text or an email reminder, all that, et cetera, et cetera. That's fine because that is company policy and it's just you making sure that the customers know when they're supposed to come in. Now, the second part of the service is when they come in and they don't know anything about you. They're a new customer. They are at this new place they've never been. Maybe they heard about you. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they found you on social media. So now this is it, right? This is the real deal. So what do? You're just not going to sit them straight to your desk and be like, okay, choose your color. No, you are going to give them a little tour about your place. You're going to tell them who you are, how long you've been here. It's all about customer service, how good of an experience you're going to provide. And now it comes to perform the service, that manicure that she wants. Take a moment to picture yourself if you are currently doing nails or if you're thinking about it. While you're holding their hands and performing the manicure service, how do you feel? Do you feel annoyed? You feel rushed because you can't wait to just paint their nails and off you go, pay me, goodbye? Or do you feel grateful that this person is trusting you enough? So you're doing all the steps for the manicure. So now you're doing the manicure and you're being really careful. You're trying to do all the right steps. You are engaging in conversation. And part of that service is you don't have to do all the talking because it's not about you. It's about Jan. It's about your client. So let her tell you her story. You're being of service again by just listening to her story. And there's so many clients that just need that. They need somebody to listen to them, make them feel heard and validated, making them feel that they matter, even if it's just for an hour or two. Is what makes them come back. Do you see the relation? How you're always of service. It's not just a transaction. It's about the experience. Now the service is done. Jan has beautiful nails. They're all polished and she chose like a very nude color because she likes to be modest. And what do? Is the service done? You just collect the payment and off you go? No, you're heading to the third part of the service. The third part of being of service. And that is that you're going to suggest another booking because you care, you enjoy your time with her, and you also will let her know that you are getting busier, so it's better to schedule ahead to reserve the spot. See, you're caring for her. You also suggest products like hand lotion or cuticle oil because you notice that her hands are dry due to the weather, especially now that it's winter. See, you are of service to her. And then Jan makes an appointment, or maybe not, but she's really happy that you are so eager to help her. Now you are heading to the fourth part of the whole experience, follow-up. You send an email or a text, and you thank her for coming in. And you're going to say something like, "Hey Jan, thank you so much for your time last Tuesday. I really hope that you're enjoying your manicure. It was really a treat to have you and to get to know you. I hope that you're liking your lotion. And just remember that, you know, you need to use that X amount of times for better results. If you have time, leave a review on this website and I will provide you the link. I look forward to see you next time." All that I just said, it seems very overwhelming and it seems like a lot to process. But the more you do it, the faster you're going to get into it. And then you automatically going to do it where you're not going to even think about it because you're doing it often. And during this process with Jan, if at some point in any of the steps you said, "You know what, that's too much, I don't think I can do it," then you should not be in this industry. And if you're already in the industry and you're struggling, maybe you're not providing a full service. Maybe you're not taking the time to get to know your customer or to provide that experience for them. Guys, in my experience, for what I've seen in the conversations that I've had with nail technicians, we as professionals, we focus too much in how much should we charge, right? Well, how much should I charge? Oh, well, you need to determine your cost, blah, 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 blah. No. Let's not talk about charging. Let's talk about the quality of service that you're going to provide. Because people will pay you whatever your price is if the service is memorable. They will pay you and they'll come back and pay it again. They're going to tell their friends about you and they're going to pay your prices because the service was beyond what they expected. Why do you think these in-and-out salons have lower prices? Because for them, it's about the quantity, not the quality. They might never see client A who got a full set again, or client B who got a pedicure, because their business is not about retention. It's about quantity. It's about how many people I can get in a day, right? And that's how they make their money. Your goal as a professional who is going to be independent or is going to be working for this exclusive salon is to make their service memorable. You do want to keep track of your time, of course, because you can't stay 8 hours with one client, but you're also not going to make them feel rushed. And the more that you practice, the more that you service others, you're going to have a realistic idea of the time that it should take you. And then you will always be focused on the quality of the service more than the time. All right, moving on. I hope that I haven't lost you yet. Number 7. You will not make a lot of money at the beginning. That is a true statement right there. You will spend more than what you make. And I truly recommend that before starting up, if you have a full-time job, start buying the products that you're going to use before you leave your full-time job because it is expensive. And if you don't believe me, here it is. An average bottle of gel polish is between $18 and $20. A hard gel pod can be between $15 and $25. A regular polish or lacquer or varnish is between $8 to $15 per bottle. And that is not even counting all the supplies, the tools, implements, equipments that you're going to need. I will recommend, again, that you start buying while you have a full-time job. But I will also recommend that you do your research and don't buy the first thing that you see. The reality is that the majority of the money will go into supplies. They will go into education, equipment, rent, and so forth. Be realistic about your financial situation. I strongly, strongly suggest that you get a financial advisor and tell them about your financial goals. I wish I had done this before I started because it will have given me a clear route to take when it comes to money. You know, as an independent contractor, you will be solely responsible for your wages, for your taxes, for your retirement account, paying your social security expenses, etc. You know, and you have to think on the long term. As a nail technician, hairstylist, esthetician, whatever your role might be, you have to acknowledge the fact that your body at some point will give out and that you will not be able to work until you die. So you need to build your retirement account. You need to think about the future. What is going to happen when I can't do this no more? And that is a very difficult question to answer. And a lot of people think that they have a lot of time and I'll deal with it later. But the reality is that the years go by, that things keep happening. And if you don't budget, you don't plan your future financially, you are going to be in big trouble. Number 8, you need to have problem-solving skills. Again, if you shy away when a client asks you for a manager and you don't want to deal with them, let me tell you, when you are in this industry, you are the manager, okay? Unless, obviously, you have an actual manager for the salon. But if you're solo, you are the manager. You will need to answer the dreadful texts and the calls about, my nail broke, my nail chipped, I didn't do anything but it chipped, or I need to cancel my appointment, or why did you charge me for a cancellation? Or, you know, when they're asking for an appointment and they're like, why you don't have these dates available? Those are the dates that work for me. And why are you not working on this day? I need to work on this day. Oh my gosh. Or when they ask you that they need to reschedule and you don't have any other dates available. How are you going to deal with all that? Ooh, when somebody leaves you a bad review on your social media or Yelp or whatever, and it's not even your client, or it was somebody that you resolved the issue, but they're still, you know, kind of like mad about it. How are you going to deal with that? You need to know how to resolve this, the situations. You need to have problem solving skills. You need to know how you're going to react, how you're going to respond, and what kind of solution you're going to offer to your client, you know? And something that I'm going to recommend is take a deep breath. Do not react right away. Take a time to analyze where this person is coming from. What is it that they're telling you? And always keep it positive. Like if I had a client that broke her nail 2 days after, you know, my service, I usually have a 48-hour policy where I will fix your nails within the 48 hours of the service, but after the third day, you're on your own. But if it's somebody that on the third day broke their nail, instead of being like, well, I'm sorry, I cannot fix it because you're outside the policy. No, just take a deep breath and ask questions like, what happened? What were you doing? If this is the first time that the client has broke their nail, you know, you don't have a lot of issues, or if it's a new client, or she tells you, well, I was trying to open a soda can and I used my nail and it broke. Well, you know, if it's the first time client, or you never had issues with this client before and it's just a one-time situation, then take a deep breath and be like, you know what? I can see you this day. It will be a quick fix. No worries. Come on. And then when you are fixing the nail, just educate them. Be like, hey, just you know, your nails are jewels, no tools. There you go. You resolve a problem, right? But if this is a client that continuously is breaking and using her nails as tools, then how are you going to resolve that? Or if it's a client that on the seventh day is asking you to change your polish, or they didn't like the design and they want something new, how are you going to address and manage these clients? I had a client that she will do that. She will contact me every week. Oh, I want a new set. Oh, I want a new design. And it's like, oh God. Every time I see her name on my phone, I'm like, oh God, what do you want? But I had to, you know, resolve this issue. So it came a time where I told her, look, the first time I did it, you didn't like it. I was trying to be accommodating. So I changed your polish. I didn't charge you extra. But from now on, every polish change is this amount of money. And if you're willing to pay it, perfect. If you're not, then please choose carefully in your next service. And that's fine. You're not offending anybody, but you are resolving an issue. And you're going to encounter so many things in your journey, and you have to be ready for that. And if you don't know how to handle it, talk to other nail technicians before you say anything. So never be scared of reaching out, ever. Okay? So you need problem-solving skills. Number 9, play well with others. You will need to play well with others because you need to network and find a community for career support. You cannot do this on your own. Trust me. You will go crazy trying to do this on your own. And that attitude that some people have of, oh, Yali is my competition. I cannot talk to her because she'll steal my ideas or she'll steal my clients. That will eventually close your doors. You'll need to find a community. Well, all your questions can be answered, where you are encouraged to post your work and get feedback, right? Constructive criticism. And eventually, you know, you will have to go to these events and conventions and trainings and classes, and you will meet amazing people. snarky people too, but for the most part, amazing people. And don't shy away. No one will steal your ideas. You know why? Because nobody is willing to work as hard as you're willing to. Surround yourself with people that are like-minded and people that are in the same industry. And do it because at some point, you will feel defeated, frustrated, burnt out. And this people, this community that you're part of, are the ones who are gonna support you and lift you and encourage you and be your cheerleaders. And let me tell you, I am so grateful for the community that I belong to. I belong to an Instagram chat called Nail Babes. And everybody that is in that chat, they are local. So we, you know, see each other once in a while. They're real. They're funny. They're amazing human beings. They are so creative. And I just enjoy them so much. And they're so real that I know that they struggle the way I struggle. I know that we can laugh together. We can cry together. We have become good friends. To the point that we used to get together for lunch every month to just keep up and you know, talk and vent. And it's just, it was an amazing circle. And of course, this was before the pandemic. So we're really looking forward to go back to that. But that is why you need a community. The one that I belong to, we trust each other. And we trust each other to the point that we don't mind sharing ideas. We don't mind sharing our work because we know that all the feedback we're going to get is going to be to better us. It's going to come from a place of love and friendship. And it also comes in a spirit of cooperation, right? Like when they need something, we're going to be here. And when I need something, they're going to be for me. So again, you're not going to make it on your own. The strength is in numbers. So find a community that will support you. And if you are new to the industry and you are still in school and you're like, well, I don't know anybody in the industry, that's fine. You will meet people at school that you're going to become friends with. You can keep in touch with your teachers. Your teachers can give you amazing names for groups and support and people that can actually help you. And if you still can't find any, there are amazing groups on Facebook like Talia Sanders group support. And if you follow Talia Sanders on YouTube, she has the link to the Facebook group. And over there, people ask questions every day, and every day they're answered. I have never seen a question that has not been answered in the Facebook group. That is amazing. To be engaged and to keep up with the group every time, every day, it's amazing. You know, I've belonged to nail groups where somebody asks a question and they're not answered until like 2 weeks, 3 weeks after, or they go unanswered. And it's because the people who created these groups, they're really not serious about helping each other in community. They give up. They're like, they get burnt out of people asking the same questions over and over again. So find a group that is constantly active, that is constantly answering your questions, and give more than you can take. If your question is answered and then you see somebody else asking a similar question or somebody that just joined the group, take your time and welcome them and answer the questions and give them the feedback. I mean, that's the spirit of a community. You give more than what you take, and building that trust and in a safe place for other professionals too. It's truly amazing. Number 10, you will need constant education. Be ready to research, read books, watch YouTube, dedicate most of your time educating yourself in products, trends, new techniques. Why? Because the industry is changing so fast. Think about it for a second. The way we used to do nails back in the 50s is way different from the nails in the 90s, the 2000s. Hell, even 3 years ago, it's changing very rapidly. And the same for hair, estheticians, everything. The industry is changing too fast. So please be ready to adapt to change and rapid changes. Don't marry a technique. Don't marry a brand or a product, because companies keep reinventing themselves, and whatever was in 3 years ago, it might not be now. Please do not have an attitude of content. Don't be like, oh, hey, I went to the Las Vegas Expo and I learned so much. I am never going to attend another convention ever again because I know everything that I used to know. Or, hey, I did 3 classes this year. I'm not going to take more classes in a year or 2 years. Don't do that. The industry is changing constantly. And whatever you knew back then is not going to be the same now. All right, guys. So that's the list. You made it. Congratulations. Let's do a quick recap. Number one, you need to know how to deal with people. You need to be happy about it. Number two, you are a salesperson. Number three, the reality of becoming an employee in a salon. Number four, if you're thinking about owning your own place, know that you're going to wear a lot of hats. Number five, always have a positive attitude and be persistent. Do not give up easily. Number six, you need to enjoy being of service. Number seven, you're going to be spending a lot of money, so get a financial advisor. Number eight, polish your problem-solving skills. If you don't know how, I suggest that you start watching YouTube videos and read books about problem solving. You're going to need them, believe me. Number nine, play well with others. Community over competition. And number 10, know that you will need constant education. Research, read, watch. Whatever you do, keep your brain sharp and keep informing yourself because everything changes by the minute. All right, guys, this is it. Congratulations, you made it this far. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. And I really hope that you like the content. I will ask you to please subscribe to the podcast as it will help others find me. And to share the episode if you think it's valuable and somebody might use it. Please take 30 seconds of your time to leave me a review. So again, it can improve the stats and people can find me. And if you have any feedback, I would love to hear it. Please send me a message at info@thenailpod.com or you can go through the website, thenailpod.com. Have a wonderful holiday and a wonderful week. And remember to always be grateful for the battles that we go through, the scars that we carry, because at the end of the day, that is what makes us. You guys take care. I'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios. Goodbye.